another podcast here at BleedingGreenNation.com. I am your host, Brandon Lee Gouton, and today I'm joined by Mike Kay. How's it going, Mike?
Doing well, Brandon. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. And today we have something to talk about, as there has been some Eagles news today, you may have heard, that Michael Vick has been named the starting quarterback by Chip Kelly. Mike, how do you feel about that?
I'm just really crushed for G.J. Kinney. So crushed. Poor G.J. I'm actually really excited. I was a lot more excited than I actually thought I would be. I think that it was the right pick for now. And, you know, I kind of like that Chip Kelly went out of his way to say that not only is Nick staying with the team, but that Vic's going to be the starter throughout the whole season. I think that was really important. I don't think we have to have a constant guessing game between fans and the media as to, you know, if Vic has two or three bad games in a row, if he's going to be taken, you know, out of the lineup. I think that he was very upfront and very frank with the audience, with his audience after, you know, being very quiet for a very long time.
Yeah, and as far as my immediate reaction goes, yeah, I felt fine with it as well. I mean, obviously Vic has been playing great this preseason, and really you can't base this decision off of training camp. And if you were, I think Vic and Foles looked close enough that, you know, you really couldn't make a clear decision off of that. So you really have to look at the preseason games. And it's no question that while Nick Foles hasn't been bad, he hasn't been bad by any stretch in the preseason, but he hasn't been as good as Michael Vick.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you're talking about that, I think Nick Foles has been good, but I think Michael Vick's been very good. And I think that that's the separation. I think, you know, when you look at the competition, I know Matt Barkley thought he was in the competition, and I know every Oregon Duck fan thought that Dennis Dixon was in the competition. Really, it came down to Nick Foles and Michael Vick. And really, I think the most telling part, I didn't think game one was really, there was that much separation, but game two of the preseason against the Panthers, there was just like a feeling, I feel like, that was different between Vick and Foles. And I feel like this opportunity is actually good for Foles. I feel like Foles can learn behind Vick, and, you know, history proves that he'll get to, I mean, history shows that Nick Foles will probably get an opportunity to play at some point this season.
Yeah, the injuries are obviously always an issue with Michael Vick. Now, that's something that I saw on BGN. You mentioned you're feeling a little bit more optimistic about in terms of Vic not being out for a long amount of time, and that's something I wrote about today in my post about how Chip Kelly did make the right decision by starting Vic. And by that, I mean, really, Michael Vick gets hurt. Where does he get hurt most of the time? He gets hurt in the pocket a good amount of the time.
Exactly, yeah, exactly.
And the Eagles have a better offensive line this year, and that's certainly a fact. Now, that doesn't guarantee anything, but I would be surprised if Mike Vick takes the kind of hits and the frequency of hits that he was last year with last year's bad offensive line.
Yeah, I think with Chip, it's not that Andy didn't advocate blocking, but the way that Chip advocates blocking, I think you'll see Vic will have a cleaner pocket. I know he has in the preseason, even without Alan Barbie or however.
Yeah, no, Jason Peters. We need to point that out. Jason Peters has not played yet.
And honestly, I don't think they should let him play in the preseason.
But I think he's going to play. Yeah,
He's going to play in Jacksonville, yes. But I don't think it's necessary. I think Barbara is doing such a great job at left tackle. But, I mean, that's for another discussion. But I think when you look at the reason why, you know, you mentioned that I had said that I'm a little bit more optimistic about Vic's health. I do think Vic will probably miss at least one game, but that's just going based off of history.
And that's not unreasonable either. I mean, you know, obviously you have Iron Man like Peyton Manning prior to his injury and Tom Brady. They don't miss a ton of games, but really it's not unreasonable to think any kind of quarterback would miss one game. That's not unacceptable at all.
But I think the extra tight end help's going to be effective. I think having Riley Cooper in the game, you know, I think this is going to be a much tougher team, especially when it comes to blocking. I don't think you'll be able to sack the quarterback quite as much. I also think Vic's going to get rid of the ball a lot faster this year because, you know, frankly, he has to. He has no choice. I mean, if you don't think that Well, Chip said that he's going to be the starter the entire season. If Chip doesn't like something, I feel like he's the type of guy that says, you know what, pull this stuff one or two more times, and we might have to have a discussion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Chip, you said earlier in the podcast that you felt, you know, Vic has room to make mistakes. And, I mean, obviously he's not going to be perfect, but you feel like with Chip naming him the starter and saying that's for the whole season, that there's a good chance Michael Vick, assuming he doesn't get hurt, will start for the whole season. And while I agree with that, I mean, there's only so much breathing room he has, of course.
Right.
If he just absolutely looks horrible for a couple games, let's say like 3 to 4 games, then yeah, it's not crazy to think that Chip would make the switch if he feels like the Eagles need to win and that Foles gives him a better chance to win.
I'm just saying, I think that the dynamics of this year are definitely different than last year in that, you know, while Vic was the starter and he was the unquestioned starter, I felt that Nick Foles was breathing down his neck the entire season. There wasn't one game where I was, especially the Cleveland game. The Cleveland game and the Baltimore game, when he, I know they won those games, but Vic was a very big proponent of them being close with all the turnovers. I was like, wow, it's just going to be a matter of time before Nick Foles is in. I think Vic will get his time to show he can play. Now, if he pulls a Kevin Cobb, gets injured in week one, and then Nick Foles comes in and has, like, 3 really good games, what does that mean? But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, as I broke it down in my post, really, I think the main thing here is it's Chip Kelly and it's winning football games. It's really that simple. He's going to play the guy that gives him the best chance to win because that's what he was hired to do, and that's his job. He can't come in here year one and just say, hey, I'm just going to play this guy just to see more about him. He doesn't have that kind of luxury because while he has a 5-year contract and it's all guaranteed, really, I really only think like 3 years of that are going to be guaranteed if he has a bad couple of first years. They're not going to waste time if they feel like Chip Kelly can't be the guy. So Chip has to prove himself starting now. He doesn't have the time to wait.
And I think with Chip Kelly, to that point, I think you'll be able to tell if it's going to work or it's not going to work pretty soon. I mean, I think within the first year, I think you're going to get a vibe just because of the way the guy is and the way he's run. Because everybody is bought into this system. If it doesn't work the first year, offensively, I'm talking. I'm not talking defensively or throughout the whole team. But if it doesn't work offensively, I think that's when you're going to kind of see where it is. And now, I'm not saying, you know, if they only average about 20 points a game that his goose is cooked. But I'm just saying you're going to start. You're going to be able to judge him sooner than you think you are.
So, with Vic named the starter, and assuming he starts for all of the year or most of the year, maybe he misses a game or two at most.
Let's call it 14 games.
Let's call it 14 games. Yeah, and that's a reasonable number. Like I said, for any kind of quarterback who, you know, not every quarterback is going to play all 16 games every season. They might, you know, injuries happen. They might miss a game here or there. So, with that said, how do you feel like the Eagles can do under Mike Vick as the starter? What is their final performance going to be like, or what can it be like?
I mean, I think the expectations are a lot higher with him than Foles. Is that fair? I'm not sure, but I think if you're going to go with a veteran, you have to at least be looking to get into the playoffs. I still don't personally think they're going to be a playoff team. I know the defense looked good against the Panthers, but I just don't see their defense. I think they're going to score a lot of points. Like, I think they're going to put up probably 27 points a game, but I also think they're going to give up probably 26 to 28. So I'm looking at 7-9. I really hope somebody laughs in my face. Come January and tells me, oh, you know, we got in the playoffs at 10-6, and we've already won a playoff game. So, but right now, I'm really tempered. I'm cautiously optimistic, and I think 7-9 is a lot better than what I thought they would be a couple of months ago. I thought they were going to be like 5-11. So.
Right, but do you think they could make the playoffs? Do you think the playoffs are within reach for this Eagles team with Michael Vick as the starting quarterback?
In the NFC East, the way it is, absolutely. There's no question in my mind. I definitely think they can make the playoffs. If they go 8-8, they might be able to. I think the NFC is going to be really, really beaten up this year. I think teams are going to beat the hell out of each other. And I wouldn't be surprised if three teams get in at 9-7.
Yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable to think that the Eagles could be competitive, one, because the division is weak, and two, because I think the offense is going to be good. And I really think that goes a long way. I know the defense might be a work in progress, but if this offense can reach its potential that some think it could be, as I think it could be, I think that could go a long way for them. And I agree with you. I mean, it's hard to say, oh, this team is going to be 12-4, because that just doesn't seem realistic at this point, because they were 4-12 last year. And while you can rebound quickly in the NFL in terms of performance, you know, that's a big jump. But something right. from like 4-12 to 7-9, or 8-8, or even 9-7, somewhere around there, I mean, that's really, I don't think it's that unreasonable to think. And you're right, that I think that more so, we can say that more confidently than we could have in the past.
Yeah, I think if you look at all the defenses in the NFC East, nothing scares you. If you look at the offenses in the NFC East, there are three players that kind of startle you every single time you play them. You know, you got to worry about Victor Cruz. You've got to worry about Dez Bryant. You've got to worry about RG3. But other than that, are you really that afraid of any one player? I mean, more than one player on each team?
I'm really not.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, honestly, the way DeSean Jackson has looked this year, I would be crapping my pants if I was a defensive coordinator, because I'm telling you, I think he's going to put up 1,500 yards. 1,500 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Honestly, I haven't been to every training camp. This has been my first training camp where I've been every day. But even the other reporters who have been to every training camp, or a lot of training camps prior to this one, have said that DeSean looks absolutely like the best. He's had the best training camp of his career. And really, from what I've seen, I mean, I can't compare, but yeah, he's had heck of a training camp. And tying that back into the quarterback battle, and for Michael Vick, yeah, I think that's going to be a great weapon for Vick, because not only are you going to have the deep ball option that he presents, you can see more now that Chip Kelly is trying to mix DeSean in other ways, whereas Andy was more just about the deep ball. Now Chip is trying to have DeSean do other things. He's not just a deep threat. He's a threat anywhere on the field. He wants him to be a scoring threat anywhere. So yeah, I don't think it's crazy to say DeSean could have a big year, and that could go a long way for not only the Eagles' success, but Michael Vick's success as well.
Well, and even considering that, when you look around the division, the best offensive line, Eagles, by far, when healthy,
yeah.
When everybody's healthy, all things considered, easily the best offensive
Maybe
line.
Maybe even one of the better offensive lines in the NFL, I would say.
Clearly, when Todd Harriman's is your worst offensive lineman, you've got a very good offensive mm-hmm. line. I mean, you know, and then, who's the best running back in the division? I mean, are you kidding? Like, LeSean McCoy is better on a bad ankle than every single running back in the league. I know people like Alfred Morris. I covered Alfred Morris when he was in college. Very good player, but he's a product of a system. LeSean McCoy could flourish in literally any system. He showed in against Carolina that he's still, I mean, he's got it. That injuries don't bother him. The guy looks like he's ready to burst out too. I think he'll rebound from last year where he suffered some injuries. And I think that when you have a good DeSean and a good LeSean, you're very hard to beat offensively.
Yeah, and mentioning these players and tying that back into Vic, I mean, we have to look at what Chip Kelly's doing with Michael Vick, and it's not asking him to be the guy that carries the whole thing. He's just the guy facilitating Chip Kelly's offense. He's getting the ball to LeSean McCoy. He's getting the ball to DeSean Jackson. Chip Kelly isn't asking Michael Vick to be the guy that he was in Atlanta and run 60 yards down the field and make a touchdown happen. No. He just wants him to be able to facilitate the offense, and he has some big playability with his arm and throw that in there, and that's great, and that helps the offense even more. But it's not like he has to be the make-or-break factor that he he was kind of had to be under Andy Reid. It seemed like under Andy Reid, there was a lot more pressure on Michael Vick, and he was asking him to do a lot more that Michael Vick simply he couldn't do or he just didn't have success doing. So really, the Michael Vick under Chip Kelly, he just looks like a different Michael Vick so far.
Well, and I think it's because he started to, I don't know if he's realized this, but, you know, and you can tell me your opinion, but I don't even think Michael Vick's the fifth most important player on the entire team anymore. I mean, you know, you look at it, I would say Jason Peters is probably number one. I would say LeSean McCoy's number two. I would say Evan Mathis is number three. And then I would say either Deshaun or Lane Johnson's number four. I would even put D'Amico Ryans before him. I don't think that this type of offense, and what I think is great about Chip Kelly's offense, is the quarterback isn't as dominant as he would be in other schemes.
I think that's an interesting thought, and when Chip Kelly came into the league, that was one of my concerns, was not about him, but the quarterback position and how this team would do. And my theory was, I wonder if Chip can mitigate the value of the quarterback position, because clearly you need to have a top quarterback in the league to win. Or it helps a lot, at least. And that's something the Eagles didn't have. But, as you said, the way this offense can operate, it almost seems that it's not so much about the quarterback in this situation, but the offense as a whole. And the quarterback's part of that, and the quarterback position is still very important. You have to have a good quarterback. But in the way this offense works, I think it's easier on the quarterback, like you said, and that in that sense, it makes him less important. He still has to play well, but it's easier for him to play well.
Right. I completely agree with that, and that's exactly what I'm saying. But I also think that's why Nick Foles can flourish in the system as well, if given the opportunity. I think Eagles fans, whether they like Nick Foles or not, I think he's proved this offseason that we have a heck of a backup quarterback. I mean, I don't know. You might want to say Kyle Orton's a better backup, but other than that, who can you name as a backup quarterback that you really, would trade Nick Foles for? I think it's really interesting, the scenario. And I said this on Twitter. If Michael Vick plays the way he did in the preseason this year, and we have Nick Foles as the backup, our quarterback position goes from, on paper, really, really undesirable to, hey, we've got one of the better quarterbacks, you know, twosomes in the entire league.
Yeah. And that's something, like you said, that was kind of unexpected. And really, you know, just because Nick Foles is the backup now doesn't mean he's doomed to be. He's not only a backup like Kyle Orton in Dallas. Like, he's strictly a backup. Kyle Orton isn't really there to be the future starter. Nick Foles still could be, he could have a future. I'm not saying he definitely has one, but I'm saying he could have a future with this team still. The fact that that potential is still there even makes it better than that he's just a good backup quarterback option, because he still has somewhat of a ceiling compared to, again, like Kyle Orton. That guy has no ceiling. He's just strictly a backup quarterback.
He's Kyle Orton. Yeah, but you know what's funny is that, and the reason why I was excited about Vic being named a starter is that it really allows Nick Foles to, like, really flourish in his role as a backup. Chip Kelly's a very, very focused guy when it comes to practice. It's obvious to me. And I think what he shows in practice will go a long way towards how they handle the draft next year. I know people want to see him in games, but I think the way that Chip Kelly thinks, and I like the way that Chip Kelly thinks, I think he takes everything into consideration. It's not just gameplay. And I'm optimistic about both Vic and Foles. And, you know, Barkley's got some upside, too. I think I'm not trying to become a Washington Redskins fan and root for the third best quarterback, third string. They actually brought that up on ESPN the other night.
What a joke.
They go, you know, Rex Grossman's the third guy. How many teams can say that a Super Bowl attending quarterback is their third string quarterback? Well, let me tell you something, guys, for you guys that don't know your Bears history, he missed pretty much all the games up until that season that he was playing. He was, like, on and off, and then they had one good year because they had the best defense in the entire league, and they had a guy named Devin Hester. So
ridiculous.
I
wrote a post about that, and you've seen that. And it's just so funny. I mean, it's just like, who cares? Come on. Like, give me a break.
I mean, yeah, when you start debating over third string quarterbacks, I guess that's when you know that you haven't made the playoffs in 10, or haven't won a playoff game in 10 years. But, you know, what can you do? I know.
But moving on, the other thing I wanted to talk about was Michael Vick. We already talked about Michael Vick as a starter and what that means for the Eagles in terms of their potential for this season and how they can perform. But what's it mean? I mean, I don't want to get too much into talking about the future of the Eagles with him, because to a certain extent, you just have to see how the season plays out. I mean, we can't speculate and say, oh, you can't bring Mike Vick back right now, because what if he wins the MVP in the Super Bowl this year? Not that I'm saying that's likely to happen, but if it did, I mean, if Michael Vick somehow did something like that, then it's a no-brainer you bring him back. So, without getting too crazy into it, what do you think this means for the Eagles beyond this year?
If I'm like looking at this and I'm Chip Kelly and I'm Howie Roseman, I don't want to I want at least a playoff win out of Vick for me to re-sign him. And even then, I would only give him 2 years. I understand he's only 33 and he missed two of the 12 seasons he's been in the league because, you know, he had that little thing that happened, but we won't mention that. I'm looking at least a playoff win. I have to have at least a playoff win out of that. Howie Roseman has not had a playoff win under his watch. Chip Kelly obviously doesn't have any record, you know, as a pro. No. You know, Nick Foles didn't look half bad in that preseason. You know, I would still take a quarterback next year, whether I sign Vic to an extension or not. But it just depends on what round I'm taking him. Will I pull another Matt Barkley and draft a kid in the fourth round and compete with Barkley and Foles to be part of the two of the three backups? You know what I mean? Like, I want at least a playoff win. I would not settle for anything less. Honestly, if they gave him a contract extension, they went 7-9, but he threw for 23 touchdowns and 6 interceptions, I'd be upset.
Well, I'm going to make it hard on you. Let's say, because that's what I do here. So let's say the Eagles' offense looks like the number one offense in the league, though, and they're only being held back by, like, the defense. Then what do you do? Like, Michael Vick is leading the offense, and it's a top offense in the league, top one, maybe top five, but they don't win the playoff game, but that's because the defense is like the Saints last year. They just can't stop anyone. They're horrible.
But they make the playoffs.
They make the playoffs, or they're like very, very close to making the playoffs.
He has to at least make the playoffs. Yeah. A number one offense, that's nice, but, you know, I mean, look, not everything's on the quarterback, and we've said this earlier in the podcast, but just because he's running this offense very fluidly, we saw Nick Foles do it. It's obviously a system that can work. I mean, you know, I don't know. That is pretty hard to talk about. I think you would just have to be there and really see it.
Right.
Now, if he's putting up 30 touchdowns and he only has, like, 6 interceptions and they lead the league in, like, 7 of 10 categories, then I think you have to consider it, and it's a short-term deal, but which I don't know if he would take, but I don't know. I mean, I just think you'd rather build your team. While the team's not rebuilding, you do something like San Francisco did, where San Francisco was kind of like not rebuilding, but they took Kaepernick anyway. They had a veteran quarterback.
Alex,
you know, they
Smith,
took a
yeah.
shot. Yeah, I mean, if Taj Boyd is there in the second round, which I don't think he will be, but if a guy like him is in the second round, you take him in a heartbeat. I mean, you're not – while you don't want to deter the present for the future, you definitely don't want to deter the future from the present, because that's what's happened with the Andy Reid era. They did that several times during the mid-2000s, and it came back to bite them. It really did. After that last NFC championship, game, you saw it. I don't think it was totally Jim Johnson's death's fault. I think you saw a lack of planning for drafts. I think they invested too much in veterans that had stupid salaries. They cut guys way too early. They let guys leave way too early.
So, getting back into Vic.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry about that. I went on a tangent. Damn you, Joe Banner, for not re-signing Brian Dawkins.
So back on Vic, one of the things I wanted to talk about again was the competition factor in Vic's, not only in Vic's performance, but Chip's decision. That's something I wrote about in the post I already talked about in this podcast on BGN today, about how Chip Kelly made the right decision by going with Vic. I think part of the quarterback competition has to do with that. I think when Chip Kelly took over in January and he was hired, a lot of people thought Michael Vick wouldn't be back because they felt like he wasn't a Chip Kelly quarterback in terms of he took too many sacks and he turned the ball over too many times. Now, obviously, some people thought he was the perfect Chip Kelly quarterback because he can run and he has the mobility and he has, you know, it's a lot of good physical characteristics, such as arm strength and all that. But really, the competition that he was brought back for, Michael Vick, I mean, that seems to have yielded good results, because not only is Michael Vick playing well and did he win the job, but like you said, you have Nick Foles, who's also had a good preseason and also has tried very hard to win the job. And even though he didn't win, the competition is successful because you did have a winner who was playing well.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. I mean, how would I feel if, you know, while everybody knows I thought Nick Foles winning would be more convenient, obviously, for the future and the present. But how would I have felt if it was really, really close and they just named Nick Foles the starter? You know what I mean? Mm. I like that this happened before game three and that Vic really forced Chip Kelly's hand to name a starter. And, I wanted the best guy to win. Don't get me wrong. I would have preferred Foles, but I'm thrilled that Vic won the competition because somebody won the competition. And I think, you know, we can't blame the competition for Vic winning. And I said this on Twitter earlier, because that just, I mean, if competition is what got him up and got him to be talented again, then that says a lot about the last 2 years and how he's performed. And he's not a bad teammate. So that's why I don't really buy into the whole competition thing is what got him, you know, to play better. I think he found the right scheme, the right fit. But I think you're right. I think with Nick Foles, you got to see what he's got, and you got to see what Vic got, and I think Vic's a perfect fit for the system, and he's proved a lot of people wrong.
So you would say the quarterback competition has been very effective then?
It's been effective in as far as learning what you have in both players, but I wouldn't say either one of them has improved or molded to become a better player because of the competition.
And I think this also proved all along to me that the competition was wide open. And now some people might contest that because they might just say, oh, you know, well, Vic was really just the starter all along. Well, I don't agree with that. I think, and I don't think you can prove that either. I think you can more easily prove that the competition was real because you saw Michael Vick not named a starter officially until he proved himself, until he went out there on the field and made himself look great and make himself look like the obvious decision. Some people wanted him named as the starter before he even went out in the field, and that didn't happen. And that says to me that not only was the quarterback competition effective because you got a winner, that it was legitimate.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it says a lot about the competition. And what proved to me that it was an open competition is that he named Vic when he did. Because if he knew Vic was the starter the whole time, he could have just held out the entire, I mean, he really could have just held out the entire preseason. There was no reason to, but he felt it just to, announce a winner. And the thing is, too, is that, I completely lost my train of thought. You gave me a great idea, but I completely forgot about it. But, oh, no, not a problem. I think, you know, with what you've seen with, oh, here we go. With the competition, I think what Chip Kelly did that was brilliant is the entire team embraced both guys as starters. And I think that was what needed to happen. Because there have been times where you'd have a guy like Mike McMahon or, Jeff Blake come in where the team was like, kind of like, where the hell's Donovan? You know what I mean? But then you had guys like Jeff Garcia, who was fiery. Nick Foles is obviously not a fiery guy like Jeff Garcia, but Jeff Garcia came in and people loved him. Some people didn't embrace Kevin Cobb. I remember seeing interviews where they were like, yeah, we're sort of excited that he's the starter. It's tough that Donovan left. And Donovan actually made it easier on Cobb by, you know, saying all those things like, oh, our young players need to step up. I remember seeing that, and then Jeremy Maclin, DeSean Jackson wanted nothing to do with him anymore. So, you know, Foles entered a situation where it was kind of split because he only played with half the guys. So I think what happened was Chip Kelly got it to where if either one's the starter, they're going to embrace him. And those comments have kind of been echoed by LeSean McCoy.
Right. And one of the last things I wanted to do before we wrap this up was just look at the numbers of these guys in the preseason, because just looking at them, I think they're pretty interesting. I'll go over Michael Vick's first. In 30 snaps, he's had 13 completions, 15 attempts, which is an 86.7 completion percentage. He's thrown for 199 yards, one shy of 200, and he's had 13.3 yards per attempt, which is thanks in part due to the long pass to DeSean in the preseason opener against the Patriots. He's had one touchdown, which was to DeSean. One interception, which was the Hail Mary interception, where he didn't take the points.
Yeah, he should have taken the points. You and I are going to get down to the basis of that joke later, but yeah, go for it.
Only one sack. I think that came late, like, too, against Carolina.
Yeah, it was late against Carolina, and it was actually on Lane Johnson.
Right.
It was an undrafted rookie or undrafted second-year player that came in and grabbed Vic's hand and threw him down. Mm-hmm. That series was kind of poor.
So, yes. And then, so he finished with a 113.2 quarterback rating, and obviously that would have been higher, not for the Hail Mary interception. Now, a few notes on those stats. I said he was 13 for 15. But let's throw out the interception, just because, you know, it's a Hail Mary interception, let's just throw it out. That's 13 for 14. That's pretty good. But that one incompletion came on a dropped pass. I'm not sure who it was, but I was looking up some stats. And when you look at that number then, so you take out the drop pass. You assume the receiver makes that catch.
Well, if you want to take out the drop pass, he also had three overthrows where there were penalties on the play. So, okay. Fair.
So, all right. Well, fine. But still, let's just look at that. And then you have 13 for 13. Like, I mean, it's a very small sample size, 30 snaps. But when has Michael Vick ever done that? I feel...
Never.
Yeah, exactly. That's incredible to me.
Actually, Washington game.
Okay.
I think he started off as 13 of 16,
right.
And that was in, like, a live-action game, you know what I mean?
And like this is something that, you know, it's probably not sustainable either. Michael Vick's not going to end the season with an 86.7 completion percentage. But still, you have to admit, at the very least, it's very encouraging. And a lot of these balls that have been thrown, too, just seeing them, they've been nice throws. It's not like Michael Vick in the past 2 years where he's throwing a lot of balls that are kind of like, you know, dropped interceptions. No, there haven't been too many of those.
Yeah, I mean, I think they've been impressive. Even his subtle passes have been impressive. Like, I think he had a 19-yard pass in the first game to Riley Cooper. I thought the placement on that was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
Some of his throws to Jason Avant have just been awesome. I mean, I really feel bad for Jeremy Maclin because of the way that Vic is playing. I think Jeremy Maclin would have had a huge year in this offense. It's such a shame. But I think Vic is really – this system really just works for him. You look at him, I've never seen him this comfortable, ever. Not at Virginia Tech, not with the Falcons, not even that first year with Andy. Never seen him this comfortable.
And that's kind of incredible because, this isn't a player who is like 26 – and he's kind of just had a rough start to his career. No, Michael Vick's been in the league for a long time, and he's 33 years old. It's crazy to think that at 33 you're getting a player who's done something he's never done before.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, you know, he's played 10 seasons, I believe, or he's played 9. He's been in the league technically for 12 years, but again, he had those 2 years where he was not in the league. So, I mean, you know, it's interesting because he never, when he was at Atlanta, he never came off as like a team player or a smart guy. But by all accounts, since he's been in Philadelphia, he's been a great guy. He's been a team player. He's really rejuvenated his image. And now this year, he's really rejuvenating his career again.
And now switching from that to Nick Foles' stats.
Oh, don't do this to me.
I'll read this off. 31 snaps, 0 completions, 100 intercepts. All right, no, I'm just kidding. 31 snaps, 11 completions on 14 attempts, 78.6 completion percentage. I mean, again, that right there, it's just, that's very great. 100 yards. See, this, the main stat difference you see in Vic and Foles is the yards per attempt, mm-hmm. where Vic had 13.3, Foles only had 7.1. And I think that's not all on Foles, because I think the offense wasn't necessarily going for it deep as much there. But you can't deny that Vic has the better deep ball. And before we talk about that, I just want to finish reading the stat line here. 7.1 yards per attempt, like I said. He had no touchdowns, but one rushing. And that was, in all fairness to Nick, that was a great rushing touchdown because he showed great athleticism and speed for his size, for what he can do on the play. He had the one interception, and that came on a play where there was a bad snap, but that was part of his fault because he even said that he was looking too high. He didn't look the ball in. So the fumble was partly on him, the fumbled snap. And then the interception, he was just trying to throw it away in the end zone, but still, he didn't get it out of there. It's a turnover. You lost points. So it's not a good thing. And finishing up his stat line, we have one sack, and then the one fumble lost, which was partly on the offensive line for not protecting him, but still, at the end of the day, the fumble is going to go against him. And a quarterback rating of 66.7 compared to Michael Vick's 113.2.
Yeah, I mean, well, Vick basically doubled his passer rating. I think, you know, when you I've watched both games three times, the full thing, snap per snap. And, you know, I think, not to make an excuse for Nick, and I'm really not, and I know people are going to say I am, especially Bevan, but I think if you really look at the way the plays were called, it seemed like they wanted it that way. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to probably talk to Tommy Lawlor about that. But to me, it looked like they almost didn't have him look any further than 20 yards down the field. Like, it almost didn't happen. Like, it seemed like they were trying out – they were experimenting. They were trying out both sets of defenses – I mean, of offenses because, like Chip said, he'll mold it to what the player at quarterback does. You know what I mean? So – I think it was more geared towards that. Now, Nick could have taken some shots if he wanted to. There were guys downfield, but I think the offense was predicated on the short yardage play. Right. That interception to me is mind-boggling because it was almost like I saw like the way he was looking, and it looked like he was going to throw out of bounds towards nobody, and then the ball just like flutters over to I think it was Josh Norman who picked him off. But yeah. It was really weird. Like it was like a bizarre sequence, but you know, you mentioned the rushing touchdown. I think he's not afraid to run at all. I mean, he looked comfortable, and that block by Riley Cooper was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, it was, yeah.
That's the reason, you know, people hate on Riley Cooper, but that's the reason why he's making this team. That's the reason why he's starting, not why he's making the team, but that's why he's starting. You know, I think Vic outplayed him, clearly. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Vic was getting so much depth on his throws, and his placement was fantastic. Some of those balls that Nick threw, you could tell some receivers had to kind of fight for him.
So, with that said, we have Michael Vick as the Eagles' starting quarterback, and Nick Foles will be the backup this year. And Mike and I have already said that, you know, we feel pretty good about the quarterback situation. We feel pretty good about Michael Vick winning because he's deserved the job. Do you have anything else you want to add, Mike, before we wrap
this
up?
I was kind of wondering, you know, two things and two quick things. One, what do you see as being Vick's final stat line as far as touchdowns and interception? And secondly, what do you think this means for Dennis Dixon?
Oh, man. As far as numbers go for Vick, I'm not going to give you specific numbers because I'd have to look up stuff. Like, I can't rattle that off. But I feel like in terms of touchdowns to interceptions, I feel like, you know, he is going to have a lot. I think this Chip Kelly offense under him is going to be an offense that not only inflates his numbers, but I think he's going to perform well enough to earn those numbers as well. And I think with Chip Kelly emphasizing get down, first down, touchdown, and emphasizing getting the ball out quick, I think that's going to mean less fumbles and less interceptions, or at least you would hope it would. We have to see if that pans out. So I think, yeah, I think he's going to have a good year. I really do. If he can stay healthy and he can operate this Chip Kelly offense like we've seen in the small sample in preseason, I really think he's going to have a good year.
And all right. My other question was, I know we're going a bit over time, but what do you think this means for Dennis Dixon?
I mean, I think the Eagles are only going to keep three quarterbacks. Let's start with what we know. They're going to keep three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. And obviously, one of them is guaranteed to be Michael Vick, because he's your starter. And another one is going to be Nick Foles, because he's going to be your backup. And the third one, well, that's obvious, too. That goes to Matt Barkley, because you don't spend a fourth-round pick on a quarterback who you knew probably wasn't going to start anyway just to cut him. So that's your 1, 2, 3. So then you don't have Dixon making the 53-man roster. And now he is practice squad eligible, and I do think the Eagles will keep a quarterback on the practice squad. Because,
yeah, I think that's pretty much a lock.
Yeah, because you have to consider Chip Kelly loves as many reps as he can get. And if he's doing this drill in training camp and OTAs where you have five quarterbacks thrown at once, well, he's going to want to do that drill probably in the regular season too during practice. So he probably wants the fourth quarterback just to get extra reps for some of the wide receivers, or, you know, should an injury happen, you just have another guy to get more reps. So Dennis Dixon, if he could make this roster somehow, would only be in the form of the practice squad. And even that, I think he might just go with DJ Kinney because of his willingness to play other team or other spots in practice, such as special teams. So Dennis Dixon, it was nice knowing you. It was nice. It was nice having you here, and it was it probably helped the quarterbacks being able to talk to him and get a feel for Chip Kelly and Chip Kelly's offense. But really, I think he won't be around.
Yeah, I mean, I would echo that. I think, you know, G.J. Kinney is obviously, we're fans of his as far as his, work ethic and his team, his team-first mentality. And honestly, like I said, I've seen him play before. I don't think he's anybody to, pass over as far as being a practice squad candidate, at the very least. And I think he's got a shot in this league as a second or third string quarterback. So I think he makes the team over Dixon. You at some point Chip Kelly's got to take upside over experience. I think that's obvious. And since he's not doing that at starting quarterback, you might as well do it with practice squad quarterback. And as far as Vick's numbers, I'm looking at probably if he plays 14 games like we've set the limit at, I think he'll get like a 25-12. I think a 2-for-1 on touchdown to interception ratio is probably what you're looking at.
And yeah, and that sounds about right. And one more thing on Dixon, maybe if the Eagles, if Michael Vick does get hurt for the season, or someone does get hurt for the season, and Dixon doesn't have a job somewhere, I mean, then you call him up and you get him in here just to be a veteran on the roster and be a backup. But that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to have a job, so yeah. He'll be free to call. So.
Or if he does, it's not going to be, he's not starting anywhere. He'll certainly be available, most likely, if the Eagles need him. So, with that, we'll wrap it up. This has been the Take the Points podcast with Brandon Lee Gowton and Mike Kay. I'll see you later, Mike.
Toodaloo.